This morning's scripture reading comes from the 8th chapter of Mark, starting with the first verse. Listen now to this word. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Eating as a central theme in the scripture cannot be ignored. From the earliest scripture in Genesis 1, we see God taking the man and the woman and placing them in a garden where they would have all the food and sustenance they would need to not only survive, but to thrive. Later on, as the story of these people continues, we hear about God making sure that the people who wandered the desert for 40 years had bread and water enough to sustain themselves in their desert wanderings. And all through the scripture, even as God's people found themselves in Babylon, held captive, they still had enough food to eat. The centrality of food in the Old Testament is very evident. But it doesn't end in the Old Testament. The centrality of food continues throughout the scripture. Jesus' very first miracle was when he took gallons upon gallons of water and turned it into the finest wine. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus sitting at tables in the homes of tax collectors and sinners, in the homes of religious leaders, the Pharisee and the scribes. Jesus and his disciples walked through fields and plucked grain to eat because they were hungry. After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, Peter, one of the disciples, has a vision. And in the book of Acts, it tells us that in the vision, he sees food coming out of heaven on a big sheet. And God tells him that nothing that was created is to be considered unclean. And that opens the door for Peter and the other disciples to have meals with the Gentiles, with people like us. At the end of time, as we read carefully and as we celebrate at this table today, we will hear that at the end of time, as we know it, there will be the wedding feast of the Lamb, where we will gather around a table with all the saints and with Christ and have a meal that we can't even begin to imagine. Food is very important in the scripture. In Mark chapter 6, we hear about the first feeding in this gospel. It is the feeding of the 5,000 in which Jesus says to his disciples, "You give these people something to eat." And so the disciples hurry around and try to find someone who might have some food, and they find, as the story goes, a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And 5,000 people are fed in those moments. Food, the feeding of others, as such a practical witness to the gospel, is perhaps the easiest witness that we can show love toward another person, as we can show Christ's witness and Christ's love for all people, found in the giving of food to others. Now, some people might say, well, Jesus really doesn't mean for us to feed that many people. This is really about a spiritual text, about feeding somebody's soul and not really about feeding their stomachs. And while I would agree that Jesus is probably more concerned about something other than our stomachs, with the condition of our souls, I would have to say that in these texts, Jesus is very clear. This is about feeding practically the need for food in every single person that every single one of us shares as God's people. And that makes me think of my grandmother. When I was growing up as a young child and we all lived together and I lived with my grandparents and my great-grandparents, every now and then I would watch my grandmother fill a pasta dish. Now, some of you who grew up in similar households understand what I'm talking about when I say a pasta dish. It's not a pasta dish, it's a pasta dish, right? And you could fit 3 pounds of macaroni in that pasta dish. I know, I have it now at my own home, and you can put 3 pounds of macaroni, sauce, and meat in that dish. And I would watch her every now and then go into the kitchen and fill that dish. Sometimes it was on Sunday when the whole family was together eating, but it could be any day. And she would take whatever she had, and she would put it in that dish, pasta, meat, sauce, vegetables, chicken, whatever there was, and she would wrap the dish really carefully, and then she would tie a towel around it. I never understood how to do the towel thing that she did, because she used it to carry the dish to wherever she was taking it to. And if you asked where she was taking it, she would tell you whose home she was taking it to. Sometimes those people had extra company in their house. Sometimes it was because someone in the family was sick. Sometimes it was because they didn't have enough to feed their family. And so I watched her bear witness to the ease of caring for those around us, to just give from what we already had so that everybody in the neighborhood would have what they needed to eat that day. It's something I will never forget. I think that's what Jesus is doing in this story. I think what he's saying to us and what he said to those disciples is, look at what you have already. These people need to eat. So out of the meagerness of your own rations, of your own food, you give them something to eat. Now, it would be really easy for us to just say, well, you know, we'll just donate something to the food bank. But consider this. According to the organization Feeding America, 1 in 7 adults, and most of those adults are elderly, 1 in 7 adults this year do not have enough food to eat. In the United States, 1 in 5 children do not have enough to eat. Now, those statistics might be off a little bit. I'm going to give that, and so you can look up your own statistics about hunger in America. But this is one of the wealthiest nations in the world. So whether those statistics are higher or lower, we still have a problem with hunger in our own backyard. In the state of Texas, they say that 1 in 4 children, or 25% of those children, are food insecure, which is the politically correct phrase to say there are 25% of our children who are hungry when they go to bed at night. How do we as the church share the gospel with people whose bellies are empty when they go to bed at night? What kind of witness do we offer when we say to someone, you are a child of God. God loves you as much as God loves me. But yet we fail to share the meagerness of our resources with those children of God. When Jesus says to those disciples, "You give them something to eat," remember their reaction. How can we feed all these people? What would it look like if instead they said, "We're going to share everything that we have so that these people can have something to eat"? In our own congregation, we recognize the need for people to have food, which is why just recently we started a new ministry called Sandwich Blessings. And on Wednesday afternoons, we take sandwiches into Plano, where there are mobile shower units for the homeless. And not only do we provide them with some fellowship and some resources, but we actually give them something to eat. When parents and children come here for school on Sunday in the afternoon, we start that with lunch. We give them something to eat. Next week, on the 14th, we will have the program, help me, Send Hope. Send Hope packets will be put together in the atrium. Next week, if you want to be part of that, it's a family program, please sign up online to do that. We will package thousands of meals and send them off to Honduras, where there are people who are hungry. We will give them something to eat. Twice a year at least, there are hundreds and hundreds of cookies baked in our kitchen for the Kairos Prison Ministry. Surely cookies are part of the food pyramid. We give them something to eat. We say to them, we know how important it is to not only feed your soul, but how practical it is to feed you, food as a person. So when Jesus says to the disciples, "You give them something to eat," and they have this spiritual amnesia, they must have forgotten what happened in chapter 6. 5,000 people were fed and they forgot, which, by the way, proves that salvation does not come through miracles alone. But that's for another sermon at another time. But here they have witnessed 5,000 people with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. Here they have 7, and they just can't figure out how, out of their own resources, they are going to feed these people. And Jesus takes that and he breaks it and he blesses it. And he distributes it. And he distributes it. And he distributes it. Because this is not a one and done miracle. What the disciples get to see that the crowd probably cannot see is that Jesus is continually breaking bread, breaking bread, breaking bread, until everybody has had enough to eat. If Jesus can do that with bread, can you imagine what Jesus can do with us if we are willing to be blessed and broken for the glory of God? What would it look like if we surrendered out of our meager resources, our time, our talents, our gifts, and we said to Jesus, "Use these so that all people would have enough bread for their bellies, enough clothes on their back, a roof over their head, a good education"? What would it look like if we offered ourselves and we allowed Jesus to take and bless and break? I don't believe that the miracle was merely about feeding 4,000 people. I don't believe Jesus' love was simply caught up in bread and fish. I believe that the miracle is that those disciples learned what it meant to bear witness, to give and to give and to give as a sign of love and grace. Could you imagine that if we offered ourselves to not only walk with Christ, to not only be held in the hands of Christ, but to become the hands of Christ, what we could accomplish in this community? I'm not talking about the whole world. What could we accomplish in this community? We could put the food banks out of business. We could take responsibility for the people who live down the street and around the corner. We could be manna, the new bread of life, for those people who Jesus came for. I would imagine that we could be broken and blessed and given, not just once, but we could be broken and blessed over and over and over again, so that with Jesus, we would not be one and done, but there would be enough left over to do it again and again and again. We could be the miracle.